Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you don't think the stories of the Bible are true. You think the stories of the Bible are just that, stories. And you think the heroes of the Bible are invented, figments of the imagination, just like comic book superheroes. Well, my friend, I'm sure you believe that sincerely, but you are sincerely mistaken. The existence of Jesus and his miracles has been authenticated by history. The existence even of the older heroes, such as the Old Testament heroes, people like King David, they too have been authenticated. David's name has been found by archaeologists carved on two separate findings, carved on basalt. We also have archaeological evidence for the fall of Jericho, the parting of the Red Sea. It goes on and on. But getting back to comic book heroes, unfortunately, and it's very unfortunate, some of them are taking on strange similarities to reality. For example, did you know, and this has nothing to do with the Captain America you watch in the movies, is reminiscent of the old Captain America comics, but in the present comic books, Captain America's new enemy is people in America who want to protect our borders. No, I'm not making that up. Now, I wonder if this same series of comics is going to also paint as enemies every single other country in the world which protects its borders without apology, knowing there is no such thing as a country without borders. Are they going to do that? Or is America the only one so honored in these new politically correct comic books? Well, forget fiction. How about living, breathing politicians whose lives show us that truth is often stranger than fiction? This one is my favorite. Hillary Clinton actually hired Hollywood director Steven Spielberg to help her with her image. You see, people are calling her phony. People are calling her a liar. I just can't imagine where they got ideas like that. People think she sounds wooden and disingenuous when she speaks, but hey, if you have a reputation for being phony, what better way to show your genuineness than to hire a director to help you act out your part better? Gotta see the logic in that one. Yes, in his new book, Unlikable, journalist Edward Klein says Hillary hired director Steven Spielberg to make her come across more likable. The snakes in Raiders of the Lost Ark could be more easily transformed. In any event, it's great to be back with you. My beautiful wife, Dana, and I were in Florida celebrating the second half of our honeymoon. Of course, much has happened in the news during these past 2 weeks while I was away from the mic. And two names were very big in the news right before I left for my trip. I did get to write about them at that time in my column, Forbidden Table Talk, but I didn't have a chance to talk about it over the air. Here is what I wrote in the first paragraph of my column. I said, ironically, one of those names will not be shared in the column you are reading at the moment. Not that the name isn't easy to find. Many other news articles and columns are plastering the name everywhere, so if you feel it's important, go find it. But the name will not be shared by me. The other name, however, will be shared. So we have to go back a couple of weeks in time now. Of course, what was I talking about? The man behind the unnamed name was the shooter at a community college in Roseburg, Oregon, who, according to the early reports on that day, had killed at least 9 people and wounded many others. The gunman then turned the gun on himself and died immediately. From what the police have uncovered, this maniac was an apparent copycat shooter, an admirer of other assassins who went from anonymity to infamy overnight. According to CBS News, online posts that belong to the assailant refer to several previous massacres that gained news headlines, including the Virginia murder of reporter and cameraman by Avester Lee Flanagan II. And here's what the unnamed person was found writing in his computer diaries. "I have noticed that so many people like Flanagan are alone and unknown, yet when they spill a little blood, the whole world knows who they are. A man who was known by no one is now known by everyone. His face splashed across every screen, his name across the lips of every person on the planet, all in the course of one day. Seems like the more people you kill, the more you're in the limelight." That's what he said. So evidently, this latest butcher also craved the limelight. Therefore, we must not honor his wishes. We will not mention his name. Such was the appropriate example set by Douglas County Sheriff John Hanlon, whose police force was swiftly on the scene. Says Hanlon, "You'll never hear me mention his name. I will not give him the credit he probably sought prior to this horrific and cowardly act." Now, however, the other big news name from that very same day does need to be mentioned. It's a familiar name, one that has already been making headlines day after day and year after year. Yes, the other name is President Obama. Before any of the details about possible motive reared their ugly heads, Obama did the predictable by seizing upon yet another chance to advance his agenda. Can you guess that he made a speech that day? Can you guess what the speech was about? Yes, gun control. Thank you for playing. What else? He said, "We've become numb to this. It cannot be this easy for someone who wants to inflict harm on other people to get their hands on a gun." Never missing an opportunity to scold Congress for failing to cooperate with his idea of appropriate gun control legislation, President Obama added, "This is a political choice that we make to allow this to happen every few months in America. We collectively are answerable to those families who lose their loved ones." Now, after Obama's speech, specific information about the shooting was uncovered. We know, for example, that the assailant went out of his way to target Christians. I'm still waiting for Obama to make a second speech and talk about the bigotry forming in our country against Christianity. Will he decide that the religion of Christianity is worth the same amount of effort as all the fuss he made defending a Muslim student who brought a homemade clock to school which looked like a bomb? Speaking of Islam, the Gunsman's MySpace page had some disturbing material which suggested jihadist influence. Authorities were looking into this possibility on that very day. Now, supposing they find something, should such a connection eventually be established, how will Obama respond? If his track record is any indication, he'll be far more likely to explain what a beautiful, peaceful religion Islam is, how those who kill in the name of the Quran are not truly Muslims, and how they have hijacked an otherwise wonderful faith. After that, he'll remind us once again that Christians also murdered during the Crusades 1,000 years ago. Despite the handicap of speaking before the facts were known, Obama still had much to talk about, namely our country's irresponsibility as it relates to guns and gun laws. Now, mind you, this did not in his mind or in his speech include the irresponsibility of what was labeled a gun-free campus, advertised as a gun-free campus, whose one security guard was unarmed. Why was the security guard unarmed? How can you get security out of an unarmed guard, you ask? Because it's a gun-free zone, silly. No, the fact that cowardly thugs are smart enough to go where the pickings are easy had absolutely nothing to do with anything. Not to say that one couldn't find anything good about our president's speech. There was something good. Check out this tasty morsel. Obama said, and I quote, "Somebody, somewhere, will comment and say Obama politicized this issue. Well, this is something we should politicize." Imagine that. President Obama, who has lied about Benghazi, lied about healthcare, lied about so many other things, actually tries his hand with the truth. It must be a whole new experience for him, requiring a bit of practice. Well, good job so far. Yes, Mr. President, that was the truth. You do believe in politicizing tragedies. Also in the news, this has disturbed some Republicans. Doesn't disturb me as much. Of course, I'm a conservative Democrat, but I vote Republican, so it potentially could have disturbed me. Didn't. They found out that Ben Carson only became a Republican recently and has been a registered independent for many years. Now, don't be alarmed, because a genuine independent is fine. Now, what do I mean by genuine independent? Well, as the name would suggest, an independent should be somebody who thinks outside the box and doesn't march in step. Unfortunately, there are many who call themselves independents who are merely the fickle and uninformed. You probably couldn't explain the philosophical difference between a Republican and a Democrat if it bit them in the butt, who decide elections based upon whose tie looked better during a debate or who smiled more. Now, from all I've heard from Carson, it certainly sounds like he fits the former definition, the good definition. Well, if you would like to weigh in regarding any of this, you can always reach me on Twitter, Facebook, or questions@bobsiegel.net. That's questions@bobsiegel, SIEGEL.net. Regarding my comments about Obama and the shooter, oh, what kind of comments did I get about Obama and the shooter? We'll find out about Obama and the unnamed shooter when we return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. In a few minutes, I'm going to be joined by my lovely wife, Dana. We're going to talk a little bit about the experience we had at Disney World and the greater Florida area. I was actually born in Florida. This was the first time I've been back. But right now, I'm back going through the news and some comments about some of the things I've said. Regarding my comments about Obama and the shooter on Facebook, Len, Tori, Ronald, and Eileen all like what I had to say. So do Wayne and Dwayne. That's Wayne and Dwayne. Don't get those names mixed up. Olivia says, you nailed it, Bob. Regarding last week's program about Israel, this is from Lise. She says, utterly fantastic show, Bob. Best history of Israel I've ever heard. Thanks for all you do. Well, thank you for the encouraging words, Lise. That was actually a repeat broadcast you were listening to last week, although certainly a timely one. Israel's always in the news, and actually, It's taking up a lot more of today's headlines than it even was a few months ago when I was talking about, because now our president is referring to the Israelis as terrorists. What makes them terrorists? Oh, they retaliate against terror attacks instead of giving the measured responses he wants them to give. So was President Obama a terrorist by ordering the assassination of Osama bin Laden? Oh, no. That was hailed like a mantra at the Democratic Convention when he sought re-election in 2012. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad they assassinated Osama bin Laden. But let's draw a distinction between assassinating a terrorist and being a terrorist. Just because two parties use force doesn't mean they're guilty of the same thing. The only way you can stop evil force is to use a more righteous force to stop it. My friends who claim to be pacifists, well, if the whole world were pacifists, Nazi Germany would have taken over the whole world. They would have killed more than 6 million Jews and so many millions of other people. Anyway, I will not lower myself to Obama's level and call him a terrorist. I'm not going to do that because he's not a terrorist. He is instead what the terrorists would call a useful idiot. Just watch. Allow me now to make a prediction, and it's not a hard one to make. Inasmuch as Obama has an abysmal record in the Middle East, inasmuch as Vladimir Putin is laughing in his face and ISIS feels emboldened, and inasmuch as he drew the red line in Syria and then never followed through, inasmuch as his withdrawal from Iraq and pre-withdrawal from Afghanistan have turned the already turbulent Middle East into a walking nightmare, inasmuch as his administration spent $42 million to fight Syrians, to fight ISIS, and you know how many it came up at a Congress committee? You know how many they trained? 4 to 5. I don't mean 4 to 500. I don't mean 4 to 5,000. I mean 4 to 5. Like 4 or 5 guys. You can't make this stuff up. Yes, 4. Or maybe, I guess we should be fair, it might not have been as little as 4. The guy said it might have been as many as 5. 5. Count them, 5 fighters against ISIS put into power with $42 million of your taxes. Boy, that was money well spent. Inasmuch as Obama is such a failure, you watch, you just watch to make a better name for himself. He'll go after Israel. He'll try very hard to force a deal with the Palestinians to make it look like he at least accomplished something. Oh, he's accomplished something, all right. He's betrayed our friends like Israel. He's made deals with our enemies. Iran wants to start another Holocaust. Obama makes a deal with them. The Palestinians espouse the same Holocaust. They refuse to acknowledge Israel's right to exist, but Israel's supposed to make deals with them. And what does Obama do? He calls the Jews terrorists. This guy won't even call Muslims terrorists. Even when the Muslims are terrorists, he calls them extremists. Jews are terrorists. Oh, he also calls right-wing extremists terrorists. What is a right-wing extremist? Well, they're referring to people that talk about abortion, people that talk about our borders, military vets, evangelical Christians. That's code for anybody who disagrees with Obama's policies. He just created a whole new Department of Homeland Security to monitor right-wing extremists. When it comes to foreign policy, Obama is a blithering idiot. Yes, I said it. I own the comment. But just in case you're concerned that I insulted the president, let me now compliment him. And it's a sincere compliment because when it comes to domestic policy, he's not an idiot. He's very capable. When it comes to our domestic policy, Obama knows just exactly what he's doing. He's slowly, methodically, deliberately turning us into a socialist dictatorship. He promised to do this years ago when he was campaigning. He just didn't describe it that way. His words were fundamentally transform America. My friends, it's time to call an audible. America has been fundamentally transformed. We are now ruled by courts, and we're ruled by one man, the president. Oh, maybe a bit of a republic is barely limping along. Maybe we are still experiencing some freedom suspended by a very thin thread. Maybe we elected a Republican Congress to keep our president in check, as another branch of government is supposed to do. But what does it matter? You think our president loses sleep at nights over what the Congress might do? He ignores them. What does our president do when Congress won't cooperate? If they don't do their job, I'll do mine. I still have a pen and a phone. Their job, of course, is to do things his way. That's how he defines their job. Of course. Who needs Congress when we have executive orders? Yes, Mr. President, that must be the reason our forefathers gave us three branches of government. In the minds of those who framed our Constitution, Congress exists for the purpose of doing things your way or being ignored. That must be what Jefferson had in mind. Why use Congress when you can rule by executive fiat? Ladies and gentlemen, the Republicans are not going to stop Obama. If you care about keeping America a free country, if you want us to remain a Democratic Republic instead of becoming another Dominican Republic, pray. That's the only recourse left. Pray. Unfortunately, our president will be more worried that people like me went on the radio and called for prayer, referring to that call for prayer as right-wing extremism because we're praying against him. He'll be more worried about that and less worried that militant Islam calls for a different practice from their religion, jihad. Okay, well, that's what was going on in the world while I was enjoying my vacation, but I still enjoyed my vacation. And intense as it is to think about the world, even I know that I must stop at times and smell the flowers. Now, I've always done that to some degree, but nobody helps me do it better than my beautiful wife, Dana. She hates politics. She hates the news. So the good news is when you hear her on, you know we're not going to talk about that anymore. Dana Siegel, welcome back to our program.
Thank you. It's great to be here. And I am glad we're not talking about politics.
You did not look happy while I was going through that stuff at all.
I'm very happy that you are focused on it and are thinking about it and listening to it and sharing it.
To put it in terms of our favorite movie, and this can transition. Our favorite movie, The Sound of Music, based on a true story, when the Nazis were taking over Austria. But you don't think as much about the Nazis. You think about the beautiful hills. And you're Maria von Trapp, and I'm Captain von Trapp, concerned that the Nazis are taking over his country. Only these Nazis today are smart enough to not call themselves Nazis, but their philosophy is the same.
And I'm worrying about the kids and their well-being.
And I'm just wondering when the borders to Austria are going to be closed so we can get out of the country in time.
And I just want to sing a song.
And you want to just sing? Well, go ahead. Sing something.
Definitely not.
You've got a lovely voice.
No.
My wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. The only disadvantage of radio is you can't see that. And I said that before, but I say it again because it makes her face turn red every time I say it. But you don't get to see that either because, alas, we're on the radio. But it's the kind of radio show where we'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Not sure when to try an unusual new novel? Let the customers speak for themselves. Here is another Amazon customer review for Bob Siegel's latest book, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. While there is nothing in this book that would stop you from giving it to or reading it to your kids, this book will certainly hold an adult's interest as well. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has it all. Magic, talking cats, bullies who get their comeuppance, fun dialogue, and a good story. Do not let the title fool you. While Christmas does play a prominent role, this is really not a Christmas story, and it can be read at any time of the year, except February 31st. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Beautiful music you're listening to is the soundtrack of Lost Horizon, written by one of my favorite composers, Burt Bacharach. And that was one of the better pieces. A lot of the music in that movie, although great Burt Bacharach music, just didn't belong in the movie. And it was somewhat of a horrible, but somewhat of a delightful movie. I still liked it. Very mixed review, but it was based on a wonderful novel. I seldom read a novel twice. And this is the novel called Lost Horizon, and it's where the name Shangri-La comes from, a kind of paradise that they discovered in the Himalayas. I'm sure you've heard of the name Shangri-La, even if you haven't heard of Lost Horizon, although it's a classic piece of literature, not viewed as that classic piece of a movie. But I am in my own personal paradise in Shangri-La because I've been blissfully married now for a little over 3 months to the beautiful, formerly Dana Wright, now Dana Siegel. So you're not right anymore. Now you're Dana Wrong.
I am not right.
You're Dana Wrong because you married Mr. Bob Siegel.
I love Siegel. That's a great name. We finally got to the DMV to get my license changed. That we had to wait until we had flown.
Well, we were afraid. We've had our experiences at Disneyland with people that at the entrance that take their job a little too seriously. We were like, it says right. We could have pulled out our actual marriage license, and my guys might have said this was Mickey's. By the way, we're going to come back and do another show because, our board op, Nick, loves Disneyland. They did something similar. He got married, it was about a year ago. Was it a year ago you got married, Nick?
It's coming up in about 11 months, actually.
So Dana and I took a brief honeymoon and then more to Disneyland, which we go to all the time anyway, when we got married in July. But Dana, being a school teacher and a school principal, actually got more time off in October because of the nutty way they give vacations these days. But it worked out well for us because we got to go to hot, humid Florida in the fall when it's not supposed to be that way. And it was still hot, humid Florida, but perhaps and probably it would have been worse
to a lesser degree, I'm sure. Yes.
But anyway, the point was when Nick and his wife get back from their trip that they're taking in November, we thought it'd be fun to have the four of us on, or three of us if Nick's wife's not able to make it that day. I understand she works now on Sundays. But a couple of things I've got to point out when people ask us to compare the parks. We're at the beautiful Magic Kingdom, and we still had to leave at 7 o'clock because of Mickey's Halloween party. They still have Mickey's. Frickin' remind me to tell you what Mickey can do with his Halloween party. He can stick it up his I'm on the radio. He can stick it up his FCC forbidden something or other. FCC regulations. Dana's just sitting there dumbfounded. She doesn't even know what to say. I'm not giving her much of a lead in here. What was your favorite part of Disney World? We'll do more of it when we come back in about a month. But right now, what was your favorite part of the Disney World experience? Aside from being with moi.
Which was fabulous.
Had I not been the main factor, what would your experience
I think be? There were a lot of things I liked a lot, and I'm looking forward to talking about it later, especially when Nick's experienced it, because Nick knows so much about Disneyland and everything, so I think it'll be great to talk with him later.
Well, you can give him a taste. But now, who's going to remember 1 month from now what you said today?
Okay. Well, I think I liked the fact that there were different parks with different focus areas. That is very cool. But I think actually one of the things that was most fun for me was riding trams from the parking lot to all of the different parks, because that reminds me of Disneyland when I was a little girl.
Yeah, when you actually parked in their parking lot and they didn't park.
And you rode the tram up to the front gates. Yeah. And then that was taken over to become California Adventure. Yeah.
And what I love about Disneyland now is you hear the park's going to open at 8:30. So you get there at 8:30 and you get to their closest parking lot and they say, "We're sorry, we're going to make you park at the Hotel Hacienda or halfway across the city to make room
for the people who come to Disneyland late in the afternoon, because otherwise they won't have a place to park. So they're punishing those who show up on time. And by the time you get back there and then take the tram from the hotel. So it was nice.
In Florida, they didn't do that. They started at the front of the parking lot and moved their way back. And each one of them, and it was really great.
Give us the stats again. I know you memorized this, of how much land Walt Disney bought in this one orchard that became Disneyland, as opposed to the land that they bought. Walt Disney never lived to see Disney World built, but he was the one that made the purchase. And how many acres?
400 acres for the Anaheim Park, and that's Disneyland and California Adventure included. So originally the parking lot in Disneyland, 400 acres. He has 30,000 acres in Florida for all of his
Needless
parks.
To say, there's a little more space. And I have to say, aesthetically,
that was nice.
If you're like me and you like to go to Disneyland just to be in another world, people always compare. Everybody loves Epcot. I've always heard people say, if you go to Magic Kingdom, which is the part that most resembles Disneyland as we've known it, the castle, the Fantasyland, tomorrow, people always say they like Disneyland better. It just in terms of having more space and a bigger fantasy land and beautiful things growing everywhere, as far as just feeling like you're in another world, I liked that better. But I will say that what I heard about the rides was true. Some of the actual rides at Disneyland, if the rides are the main thing for you, some of them were a little better at Disneyland. But you know what? When Disneyland closes down a ride, they have a happy home now in Florida because they never run out of space. The Big Bear Jamboree was there. I hadn't seen that in years.
That was so cool.
The Carousel of Progress, which you love, where they're singing Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Circle Vision.
Now, Circle Vision was at the Magic Kingdom.
Was there? Yes.
But it was at Epcot, and I thought I saw that the first day we were walking around. So on the next day, I walked over, and they had this other thing called Circle of Life, of course, referring to the Lion King. But it reminded me of Circle Vision. So I walk up to the person. And, you know, how can I say this nicely? In terms of the clientele that work at Disneyland and Disney World, some of the people we ran into weren't the sharpest crayon in the box. I walked up to a woman at Epcot. And I said, do you have a Circle Vision like they used to have at Tomorrowland at Disneyland? Of course, I realize I'm talking to somebody who's younger than a millennial, and she probably doesn't know what I'm talking about. I can understand her not remembering the ride that was extinct years ago. I couldn't understand her not knowing what they have now. She said, no, we don't have anything like that, too. Was it 5 minutes later that we passed by the Circle Vision?
But you know what? I have to defend.
I did not go back and rub it in her face, though. I did not. But
you wanted to go back and tell her.
Vision,
I said no.
Meaning you're standing in a circle of screens. It was 12 screens at Disneyland. There were about 9 now, and it was of Canada. And
it was very cool.
And I've been to Canada. I got to see Victoria Gardens again. I got to see Niagara Falls again. It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. But I want to defend them on two accounts. I think Disneyland is a small enough contained venue, and there's so much pride and history there that I think the employees there really do know, many of them know about the park, or they've grown up with that and so on. I think in Florida, it's so expansive. It's just a place. It's a job for them. It isn't a passion. And I think that is the difference. So I wouldn't have expected them all. That wasn't the only time we had somebody misdirect
us. That was
us.
A very good defense you gave. If I may be so bold, I'd like to order a little rebuttal when we return to the Bob and Dana Show. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. This is Bob Siegel co-hosting the show with me today, and it's always a delight, is my new bride, Dana Siegel. Now, I mentioned that I had asked somebody at Epcot Center, where we were just doing the second half of our honeymoon last week, I asked her about the circle vision, where you have these screens that surround you, and they used to have it at Tomorrowland, but it's been years and years. It was called the Bell Telephone Exhibit, in fact, back then. And I can understand her not remembering something that was in Disneyland long ago, but I said she should at least know what's in her current park. And Dana gave a very passionate, eloquent defense that it's such a big park that they could get more overwhelmed. And at Disneyland, things were smaller. You could not have done that better. But because I'm not debating with some atheist right now, I've got to be very careful the way I offer this rebuttal.
Yes, you do. Watch it.
So, sweetheart, Snookums, sugar pie, lammy pie, lamb chop, love of my life. Nobody could have given that defense better. I just found one teensy-weensy problem. She didn't need to know all the water parks and hotels and all the main parks. She didn't need to know anything about Magic Kingdom. She didn't need to know anything about Disney's Hollywood. She didn't need to know anything about Disney's Animal Park. All she needed to know was where she worked, which was the Epcot Center. And I think that if she works at the Epcot Center, by information, she should at least know a little information. But I'm probably wrong, honey.
You were
probably right.
And
there's something I'm not seeing, and I'm being blind.
Well, Epcot is really two different parks, too. It's got the future part, and that was huge.
Now that's true.
That opens 2 hours earlier, and then Epcot the World opens up at 11, and that's it. A half an hour, 45 minutes, if you just fast walked around it, you couldn't get around that.
It is
so
true.
So it's huge.
It is true. That
so I'm still defending
Epcot,
her.
Epcot of the future and Epcot of the world, they are different.
They're huge each.
And that's pretty good. And I'm going to be a big enough man to admit that that's a very good point. But I also want to point out that her little part of the future was only a 5-minute walk from where we're. Surely she heard of circle vision, especially when it's narrated by Martin Short. Of course, probably a lot of people don't even know who Martin Short is, but I like Martin
Short.
Yeah.
He was great.
He makes lousy movies, but he was good in that. He was actually pretty funny in that. Okay, well,
let's save the rest of our Disney World talk for when Nick's
because
gone
other and, adventures happen
there's
in
a lot
Florida.
Of fun. Yeah.
And why don't you start us off on the first day? But by the way, Dana could have in another life. She could have been a travel agent. She did everything. She got the ticket. Well, we took our season pass and we turned it into a.
Florida California pass, very cool.
Half the people in Disney World didn't know what it was.
They don't know what it is.
I only thank God that the guy that let us into the park and let us park, he knew what it was. We go to other places and they said, do we get 20% off with this? They looked at us like we had lobsters crawling out of our ears, to quote from the Christmas Story, which is coming up again in a couple of months. But you arranged everything. You arranged a rental car. You arranged the airline flights. You have a timeshare. Things were set up so that they couldn't have gone more perfectly. And yet, that's your cue.
I will have to say, the flight went beautifully. It went, and you
I think th- we changed planes in Los
in
Angeles.
In LA, and then, we and had a flew. Lovely, lovely
not only
breakfast,
did the flight go,
leisurely.
Not only did the flight go beautifully, but I believe the whole 5-hour flight was shorter than figuring out the car and driving from
I
the airport to the hotel just about.
Yeah, leaving there in the morning. And what was really
funny.
We
could have gotten in your car and driven there faster than that rental car got us there from
almost,
the
hotel. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
It wasn't quite that.
Okay, go ahead.
But it even started in the morning. We were at the airport at 5 in the morning. And security, I've never seen this before, but security is telling all of us, don't take out your liquids. Don't worry about them. Keep your cell phones on you. Don't put them in the box. I have never heard. I even double checked with a couple of the guys as we were approaching and said, oh, no shoes off. Nothing of the regular. It was so interesting. And it was very lovely. We just zipped right through. No, it was awesome.
And it made it convenient for us. But boy, you got to wonder why they did that.
Well, that's the first time that's ever happened in years.
Well, so. I know, since 9/11. And I mean, it used to be ridiculous.
It was pretty cool,
when my mother was 90 years old, they'd make her take off her shoes and waddle across like she was going to be a terrorist.
They still pulled you over there for an extra check. So they're still watching. They're still looking.
Because I made a joke, I think. No. I walk through. And I don't set off the buzzer, so I turn to her. I got to be funny. You know me. I turn to her. I go, what do I win? And she says, well, actually, you've been selected for a random check. I have a feeling it was random because I made the joke, and that's what randomly caused the random check.
Yeah. So they were still on their game. They were not letting things go by, and they were still x-raying everything. But it was really, it made it a lot easier.
But I'm wondering, was it because they had less people show up that they just had to move the lines faster? What, and whose head would have rolled if there had been a terror attack that day? I wouldn't have wanted to have been the guy that relaxed security on that day if something happened. It may have been convenient for the passengers, but... Can you just imagine if something had happened that day and somebody says, no, excuse me, they didn't have to take off their shoes. They didn't have to turn off their
lights. Yeah, and they were still doing all of their deeper checks when they needed to. So that was cool.
The deeper checks are the only relevant ones. In Israel, they know how to check somebody. They go to whoever looks suspicious. Here you talk to somebody who looks suspicious and he calls in his lawyer. Anyway,
I thought that part was lovely.
See how I almost went into news? And Dana just turned the corner.
We're back on the trip.
It was the magic of the anyway. The anyway, which rescues you from news and takes you back to blissful Florida.
So let's jump to after the flight. Great.
Flight went clean
then
as a whistle.
Then we get to the airport, and we cannot find the car rental place. Now, we have walked miles in the Orlando International Airport.
And you found a website that said this car rental place was at the airport.
It said parking on site. So to me...
On site means about 10 miles of travel off site. That's what they mean. Yeah.
So I even specifically looked for that parking on site thinking, okay, they're right there. That's great. That's what I want. I don't want to go somewhere else. I don't want to be shuttled and so on. So we've walked past... I didn't know there were so many car rental places in my life. Anyway, tons of them. We get to the end, nobody there. Then they have a little sign that says, oh, go out to the little boards out there, and that's where you'll find the car rental we were looking for. There's no one there. There's little signs, very confusing. We're trying to figure it out. I finally pull out our confirmation thing, call the number. The guy then tells me, oh, yeah, you have to call the shuttle number when you get there. Well, doesn't say that anywhere on my confirmation information. So he gives me another number. Now, mind you, I'm standing in an airport. There's noise. I have nothing to write with. And he wants me to take down a number. So I'm putting him on speaker, taking the notes on my phone. It was crazy. It was just, I said, can't you just patch me through something? No. So finally, we get to the place where the guy is going to shuttle us. So I'm already irritated.
And ladies and gentlemen, the story hasn't even begun.
Oh, no, that was the beginning.
If you've ever watched Green Acres, and I'm dating myself and being a baby boomer, we met Mr. Haney, or at least his twin, and he's alive and well in Orlando. Wait till you hear him out, Mr. Haney. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. Look, I admit it, I'm not tech savvy at all, but at least I'm savvy enough to know how to keep technology working for me. Even as a writer and radio talk show host, two careers far more related to the arts and the sciences, I am on my computer all day long. That means I need a computer that behaves itself. So when I do encounter problems, I call BitLogic. BitLogic can repair your personal computer. They also offer IT consulting for your small business. Is your computer doing something weird that you couldn't even begin to describe, let alone fix? Or maybe you're looking ahead, wanting to keep your small business systems running smoothly. BitLogic can help. Find them online at bitlogicit.com or call them at 619-333-6873. That's bitlogicit.com or 619-333-6873. Right now, mention the Bob Siegel Show and receive a 10% discount off any service.
Got complex problems? BitLogic has simple solutions. How's that for making the obvious obvious?
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out his online column, Forbidden Table Talk, published and hosted weekly by Communities Digital News. Bob is also a regular contributor to San Diego Rostra. We invite you to visit Bob's website at www.bobsiegel.net. You can listen to previous radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and find information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. BobSiegel.net.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Dana Siegel joining Bob tonight. And right before we went to break, I was just sharing about our unusual car rental experience in Orlando. And the first, as I was trying to get to the car in the first place, I just started thinking, oh my goodness, this is not on site. What's going to happen when we have to be on a flight at 6:30 the next week and this car has to be returned? All of this stuff starting to go through my head now. We finally connected with a shuttle guy. That was a whole nother story. He starts driving us out of the airport. I kid you not, it was 10 minutes away from the airport. I'm just inside thinking, oh, but this is not good.
Advertised as being on-site.
On-site parking, yeah. And so we get there, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm still going to make the best of this. We wait and wait. Finally, we get up to the counter, and John starts helping us. And everything
was fine.
See, his name was John. I can still see his badge.
He'll always be Mr. Haney of Green Acres to me.
Yeah. So John starts. He was very friendly at first. Everything was going great. I thought, clicking along, he's taking all the information we needed to, whatever. At one point now, we're getting ready to get the car, and he now slaps a paper up on the top counter and offers a full-size car for just this much more.
Yeah, because a couple on their honeymoon going to Disneyland needs a full-size car, not one that's just going to take them to the park.
Exactly.
That was such an important feature he was offering us.
I said, no. I said, we're great. I said, mid-size is all we need. And
he didn't look too happy.
That was the first indicator that we were not in Disneyland.
Mr. Douglas, you look like you need a full-sized car.
I look like I had completely offended him. And all I said was, no thanks. A mid-size is great. We're fine with that. And then all of a sudden, he's looking kind of uncomfortable and kind of gruff. And then I watch him walk over to the keyboard. Well, there's only like 6 set of keys left on the board. So I'm guessing that perhaps they didn't have any more mid-size cars. And so he was trying to get us to pay for a full-size one, and he knew he wasn't going to be able to do that. So I think that's probably why he was getting upset, although we have no confirmation on that. So he leaves. He goes out. I see him walking around looking at cars. All of a sudden, he pulls up with this white Toyota. I don't even know what it was. But he came back in.
At that point,
then
I didn't care what it was. I just wanted to, I would have gotten on a scooter and driven out of that place.
I just saw a white Toyota. Looked like a nice car. I have no idea if it was midsize or not. But he comes back in, and I'm thinking, okay, we're clicking along. We're almost ready to get going on this vacation, even though we're 10 minutes from the airport, which is irking me. And then he starts talking about the insurance. And I said, oh, no, I'm fine. I have my own insurance.
Rental cars don't like hearing that you already have insurance because they want to sell you their insurance.
He didn't just get upset. He got downright belligerent and rude to us. And I'm just still reassuring him. No, we have insurance. It's fine. He said, well, you just need to know we're going to charge your credit card. And what he means we're not going to deal with your insurance
company.
And
accident,
I said,
if there's an accident, you have to sign a form
saying,
giving them permission to charge,
my credit card and basically saying I don't have insurance. And I said, no, I said I have insurance. And I said, I know my insurance company will deal with you. It's
and
fine.
It was like a talking point. He says, we will not. Let me tell you again. We will not deal with your insurance company.
He was awful and he was rude and he was getting really cranky. So then and now my brother travels a lot. He's done worked for Youth for Christ for years and travels internationally and he gets rental cars all the time. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to call Guy really quick and just see and double check. Hey, do I need the insurance or not? Give me the deal here. I just said, let me make one call. He got so mad. He shoved our paperwork down the counter, made me step aside. And I said, this will take 1 minute.
And I said, we are not going to wait in line again. He says, you don't have to wait.
You don't have to wait. Yeah.
Just come back.
So
when
he shoves us, signals the next person to come up. I try. My brother doesn't answer. So it was all of what, 30 seconds, a minute max. And I said, I will go ahead and get the car now. I didn't get through to the person I wanted to. He ignored us, kept helping this other person. Now, the other person he's helping is a woman who's trying to pick up a car her husband reserved. But he was not going to let her take the car because the husband wasn't there. And she said, but we could put it in my name, my license, whatever. Same credit card. It's a joint. Everything's joint. But no, he was not going to give her the card. She'd come all this way and they lived there. So it wasn't quite, she wasn't quite as upset, but she wasn't getting anywhere either. In the meantime, as I'm waiting now, I'm still waiting to get back into my spot to get my car that's sitting right outside the window that I can see. Another man comes up to us. He said, well, we're not staying. We're leaving. Are you guys going to stay? Well, at this point, he's had been listening to everything and started saying, he said, they are doing this to everybody. This place is not right. I rent cars all the time. This isn't okay. And I was really glad he kind of came up to us and told me that because I don't rent cars all the time. I didn't know what to do. And so I started kind of thinking, well, maybe I will just walk away. So the guy finally gets back to me. He's definitely not happy with us. I mean, he was really cranky still. And I said, now, I just want you to know that, you know, I'll sign this and we're going to do that. But my insurance company, I know, will work with you on it. Oh, man, he just launched again. So I said, you know what? I think and Bob and I are whispering in the in between. I said, gosh, we're 10 minutes away from the airport. What do we do? You know, should we go back? And so finally, the four of us, this other dad and his son and Bob and I decide, you know what? This isn't worth it. I asked the guy for our paperwork back. He was slapping stuff around, madder than hops. So we leave the place. And as we're leaving, Bob says,
well, I need to tell all of you, the name of this place is Payless
Rental Cars.
Payless mm-hmm. Rental Car. Let me say it again, because I promise everybody I would say it again. And I'm a man of my... Hey, Nick's in there taking notes. Yeah, Nick, when you go to Orlando...
Don't go to Payless.
Payless, or as we call it, you get what you pay for. Pay less. Now, the reason I say that is on our way out the door, and, you know, my voice a lot of times in public will naturally carry more loudly than I think. But this time...
You made sure it carried. Was
on my way out the door, I said, I am going to make sure that I discuss pay less rental car on my radio show. People all over the country are going to hear of pay less radio. And if you're listening right now, I want to just tell you, that's pay, P-A-Y... L-E-S is not to be confused with that nicer store that was a Payless supermarket, not a Payless department. So this is Payless.
Yes.
Rental.
But it gets even better.
Dana, did I mention that it's called Payless?
Yes, you did.
Can I mention one more time that it's called Payless?
You got it,
honey. You've been listening to Bob and Dana talk about Payless. I want to make them pay. And I turned around as I said it. I turned around to make sure he was looking. And he was just...
He was fuming.
Now,
well,
Dana's
there's
never
three
seen
people
Green
that have
Acres,
walked
but
out.
I'm going to show her Green Acres. You've got to see Mr. Haney on TV.
Okay,
this
we will see that.
This guy was Mr. Haney.
But there were three people that were walking out the door at that time with us without cars, and we go back to get the shuttle, and the story back to the airport with the driver
and
was
the shuttle guy was waiting for us because
he
said, I drop them off and then I wait till they get their service and then I take them back to the airport.
And he takes them back.
And I tipped him on the way there and he was such a nice guy. I tipped him back to the airport. I said, don't ever work for another rental car company because you've got the sweet business here. You shuttle people there.
Tipped.
They
yeah.
get the service, you shuttle them back.
And he told us we were the 12th customer that day, just that day, he had taken back to the airport unsatisfied. satisfied to get a rental car from
we'll
the airport.
We'll talk more about our honeymoon in a few weeks, but we wanted you to hear at least a little bit about pay less rental car.
Pay more and get someone else.
We'll see you next week.
Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.